praise the Lord today. Amen. I tell you what, that was a great time of worship, wasn't it? Oh, hallelujah to His name. I love that. Great job, team. It really is. You know, this morning is Palm Sunday, not Snow Sunday. And I felt like I needed to bring a message about Palm Sunday. It's a very important time in the history of the church, a very important time in the ministry of Jesus, and it's important to us today, amen? Palm Sunday. It is an honor to be behind this pulpit today. And I must agree with Pastor Chris. 2 weeks ago, he was standing here, and he said that Easter was his favorite holiday. Can anybody agree with that? It is for me, too. You know, when you're younger, you love Christmas, everything that goes with it, and the fact that Jesus came as a baby. But he came for Easter, didn't he? And I believe today that we need to prepare for Easter. And I'd like for us to look at the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But before we do that, I want to ask you something this morning. Have you ever just known that something's going to go a certain way? Did you just, you know, you almost didn't even need to show up because it was like the seventh game of the 2011 World Series. Do you remember that? After that incredible win in the sixth game, the Cardinals just had to win it, didn't they? And they did. It reminded me of what my grandson said to me just a few weeks ago. Sandy and I have two beautiful little grandsons, both of them blonde-haired, and one of them is six. His name's Jackson, and the other one is Will. Actually, Wilson is his name, and we all call him Will. And he was talking to me one day. He's going to preschool now, of course, and they call it an academy, you know, because they teach the kids a lot of very good things. And he was talking to me. He calls me Bonpa, and he was saying, "Bonpa, do you know about polar bears?" And I said, "Well, I think so, Will." And he said, "I guess that was the subject that week at preschool. I don't know." And he said, "You know, polar bears are really brown. But to the eye," and he even used the hand gesture, "to the eye, Bonpa, they look white." And I said, "Oh, okay, well, that's cool, Will. You know, whatever you say." And knowing that Will is going to be quite an outdoorsman, his dad is a very good hunter and fisherman. And Will told me before that he just wants to eat. He was at our house. He said, "I just want to eat fish and deer. That's all I want to eat." And, you know, I said, "Well, Will, we're out of that right now. How about some SpaghettiOs?" Okay. So, knowing that he loves this wild meat, you know, and we were talking about polar bears, or he was talking to me about polar bears, I said, "Will, have you ever eaten polar bear?" And he kind of is taken back there for a second. He looks up at me and he said, "Well, Bonpa, no, I tried it once, but I didn't like it." And that's kind of what happens here. To look at his beautiful little face, he believes every word he's telling me. You know, he just knows it's got to be this way. And I think that's what our scripture is like today. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 19, excuse me, Luke 19, we're going to read starting at verse number 28, and it'll be up here also. Luke 19 and 28, this is what it says. "After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, tell him, the Lord needs it. Verse 32, those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Would you all pray with me, please? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this group of believers. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful worship we experienced, Lord, and we thank you for this gorgeous day you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, for Christ that came. We thank you, Lord, for as he came, Lord, he shared many truths with us about what was to come. We ask you, Lord, that we may glean from your word what you'd have us to do this week to prepare for Easter. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. What a great time it is, Palm Sunday. And you know, Jesus knew exactly what had to occur. He knew everything that was going to happen. And that's why he asked them to get the colt that we read about, because that was part of Scripture. And Scripture makes it very clear that there is two comings of the Messiah, isn't it? One would be as a conquering king, and one would be as the Prince of Peace. And he was coming as the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 42 and 3, it says, the prophet tells us that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And this was to tell of his gentleness as he came. So there is a misunderstanding here, even with the disciples. It's very evident. They, I believe, from Scripture, and this triumphant entry is in every one of the four Gospels, and it appears that they even missed the point of how Christ was going to come. And I think we need to look at how the disciples welcomed and prepared Jesus that day, and now we are to welcome him. I think Palm Sunday begins a week of preparation for God coming. And first of all, I want us to look at the fact that we should prepare for Jesus with obedience. Obedience. And we even see in our very first verse we read that Christ was obedient. He was obedient to the Father, because it says, after Jesus had said this, he was talking about a parable. He went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. I've read that many, many times in my life. Jesus went on ahead, but it finally struck me this week. Jesus went on ahead. He was leading the way. Can you imagine what it was like for him? It is so evident that Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him. He knew about the nails. He knew about the whippings. He knew about the crown of thorns. He knew about it all, but Jesus was ahead. Amen. He was leading the way. He wasn't begrudgingly going. He wasn't kind of being dragged along. He was out in front. Why? Because he loves you so much. He couldn't wait to finish his mission. That's the Jesus I know. He was out ahead. Praise God. Well, in verse 30 and 31, Jesus tells him to get the colt. Now, this is interesting about a colt. This was a very expensive thing, the colt. Why? Because it was valued on how long it would live. It was very young. It was a very expensive thing to do. It'd be like jumping in someone's car, you know, and they come out, "What are you doing?" "The Lord needs it." Okay. Go ahead. That's what they did. The owners of the colt must have just let them go. The disciples didn't understand, but still they obeyed, didn't they? They didn't understand, "Why would you want us to get a colt? I don't understand." But the two went and they got the colt and they came back. But it's obvious here, just a few days before this happened, we find a conflict with the disciples, don't we? Do you remember that when they are talking about who is the greatest of all the disciples, remember? And they didn't know that Jesus was reading their mail. They didn't know he knew what they were talking about. He has to bring them down a little bit and correct them. But it looks to me like they were kind of jockeying for a position. I think they thought this was a conquering king visit. And they were going to be cabinet members. And they were talking about which one of us was going to rule with Christ. But instead of ruling, they were running errands. Instead of reigning, they were saddling donkeys. But they still obeyed Christ. They still obeyed him. How does this apply to us today? Do we obey God even when we don't understand? Particularly this week, do we see true commands, very obvious commands, in the Word of God? And are we quick to obey also, even if we don't understand it? Can I tell you a news flash? This world is splitting at the seams right in front of us. And you know what? People have always said, and they continue to say today, that times have changed. Things have changed. This book doesn't change, does it? God doesn't change. We need to be obedient to His Word. Amen? We need to do exactly what He wants us to do. You know, a lot of books come out with revisions. There's never been a revision here. There never will be, because it's perfect, it's complete, and it's the Word of God. We need, as we prepare this week for Jesus, for Easter, amongst all the busyness, we need to be obedient to Him. Secondly, what do we see in our text today? How did they prepare for Jesus? How did they welcome Him? They did so with gifts. And I love this part. As we said, the colt was a gift given gladly because it belonged to Christ anyway, truly. Also, as we see in verse 35 and 36, if you have a moment, just look at that, please. It says, they brought it to Jesus, talking about the colt, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As they went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And that sounds like a nice thing to do, but it's much, much more than that. The cloak of a person in that culture meant a great deal. If you recall from the law, there was a stipulation that if you lent to someone and you took their cloak, do you remember that part? You took the cloak as like collateral. The word told us to give it back to them before sunset. They've got to have it. Why? Because it was essential. It was what they were sleeping in that night. The cloak was very, very important. It was very essential to them. Also, again, just a few days before this occurred, You may remember that Jesus healed a man called blind Bartimaeus right outside Jericho. And when he did so, Bartimaeus was saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me," because he had been told, he was blind, but he had been told Jesus was passing by. And finally, Jesus stops and he tells him, "Bring him to me." And Bartimaeus, the first thing he does, check your Bible on this, he throws down his cloak. He had the cloak of a blind beggar. It was a cloak that identified who he truly was. It was a blind man's cloak. And when he heard that Jesus wanted to see him, he was still blind, mind you, he threw it down because he was headed to Christ. And he knew Jesus would give him something much better. But the cloak was so identifying to people back then. But they put down the cloaks, didn't they, in the roadway for Jesus to ride right over. Also in Matthew's gospel of this event, his take on this, he said they also cut branches and laid them on the road also with the cloaks. We've been keeping alive some palm bushes all winter. They're in our kitchen window on the south facing. And I thought about this morning just cutting one and bringing it here. I don't know if Sandy would have liked that too much. We've been watering and throwing coffee grounds on them all winter, you know, trying to get them to stay alive. But I didn't, because I know it's easier to ask forgiveness and permission, but I didn't want to push it. But the palm frond, what does that mean? Anything green in a desert environment like that meant one thing, and that was life. Anything green, because everything else was brown. It was a desert. And it wasn't uncommon, I've read, that people would cut palm fronds like that and they would lay them on people's graves. And it was a sign of life. And it truly became a joyful thing, a celebration. And when they would cut them and put them in front of Jesus, it was a joyful thing. It meant life. Christ was bringing life to you and to me and to you. Christ was bringing life. So here's the gifts that was offered that day. The colt, which was very expensive. The cloaks that were both identifying and vital, and the cut branches that was like a joyful celebration. This week, what do you offer Jesus? What do you offer him? What do you want to bring as a gift to Christ? Do you want to bring something very expensive? That's between you and him. It's between you and God. Do you want to bring something vital? Something maybe that identifies you in the community? You know, people can think of us a certain way, and maybe we don't really like that. And maybe we can offer to Christ this week, say, "This is what I'm seen as, and I lay it down before you. And I want you to pass over it. I'm offering this." And then for a lot of us, I think we need to just offer him joyful praise. Like the palm branches, it was a joyful thing to do. It meant life. And that's what I need to do. Speaking of myself, almost tripped. I need to offer him joy this week. Why? Because there's so much going on, isn't there? Who doesn't have a busy life in this place? Anybody? Any hands at all? I don't think so. Vaughn, you don't have a busy life. We need to offer joy to him. We need to get off the rat race, whatever that means. And we need to say, "Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you came to save me. I give you praise and joy." You know, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is what? It's our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you have joy in the Lord today? Hallelujah to God. So we prepare, we welcome Jesus this week with obedience. We welcome him with gifts. What else can we welcome him with? How about praise? Look at verse 37, 38. It says, when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise and peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. That was from Psalm number 118. And when it says in the name of the Lord, it actually means Jesus is coming according to the promise of God. So they were welcoming him as the Messiah. And Matthew also, in his accounts, includes the word Hosanna. I always liked that, didn't you? Hosanna. You know what it means? I got to admit, I didn't know what it meant for a long time. Save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save now. Jesus was coming to save. Praise his holy name. He came to save. And you know what? The next verse tells us that the Pharisees didn't like it, did they? They didn't like it. They didn't like God getting all the praise. You know what? There's still Pharisees. They're not extinct. There's still Pharisees in the world. And they don't like it when people get real with God. They don't like it when people want to just offer him everything they have. They're still Pharisees. And Jesus answers them beautifully, doesn't he? He said, if these are quiet, then the very rocks will cry out. I love that. You know, the colt Jesus was riding, our text tells us it had never been ridden before. Usually that's a recipe for a rodeo. You know what I mean? And a little girl, I read about, a little girl was asked that, you know, why do you think it is that the colt didn't have a problem? Well, she said, it's because the colt knew who was on it. Isn't that true? The colt knew. Sometimes babes know more than we do. And Jesus can calm a wild colt, and he can certainly command inanimate objects to praise him. Jesus was saying, if these keep silent, you know what? You're going to see a real rock concert. Let me ask you something today as we make the application. Do you praise God every day? That's wonderful. Do you wake up? Do you get out of bed? Even before you're out of bed, do you say, Lord, we love you. Thank you so much. I made it through the night. And when you go to bed, oh, do you offer him praise and worship? And in between, do you just keep that communion with him? One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. I'll just read it for you real quick. It says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's how I want to live. How about you? I want to be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. We offer him, we owe him praise. And this week, as we prepare for Easter, let's just be really conscious of the fact that we need to offer him praise. So, what we've seen here, that we've seen that disciples are offering him many things, obedience, gifts, praise, and last of all, faith. We need to offer Christ faith. If you go with me one more time here to verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And you know what? I must say that when I've read this so many times before, you know, you picture certain things, how it's happening. And I just pictured a single tear flowing out of Jesus. But I found out through research that that's not really the way it was. The same word used here for wept is the same one in Mark 5 and 38. And that was the scene where Jairus' daughter had died. And it was before Jesus had actually awakened her, before he brought her back. And it was talking about the people that were mourning for that little girl. So it's more than just a single tear. It was wailing. It was bursting in tears. That's more accurate. That as Jesus, he wasn't worried about just answering the Pharisees well. He wasn't worried about all that was going to befall him in the next few days. He knew about it. He knew exactly what was going to happen. It's amazing to me. But what he was worried about, as he looked over Jerusalem, it says he was coming down the hill of the Mount of Olives. He was seeing Jerusalem, that special city of God. And he was worried about the people that didn't know him. He was worried about that. And he lamented. He burst into tears. He cried and he wailed. And it speaks to me more clearly than anything in our text about the love of Jesus. Oh, the compassion of our Savior. And I must say, as I meditated on this, I couldn't help but think about an old George Beverly Shea song. Anybody ever heard George Beverly Shea? He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the eagle can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, oh, the love of Jesus. He loves us so much. This went from a beautiful celebration, and it turned 180 degrees, and Jesus starts crying. And it's fascinating. It said, if you, looking over Jerusalem, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. What would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. I only see three times in Scripture where Jesus cries. One, you know well about it, Lazarus, where it says Jesus wept, tears of sympathy. The Garden of Gethsemane, where there's tears of anguish. And now, as in the sight of Jerusalem, it's tears of sorrow and compassion as Jesus cries. Because he sees a terrible future for Jerusalem, doesn't he? He sees in the future, AD 70, where Titus and the Roman legions surround Jerusalem, hems them in, just like he said, and slaughters the people. Jesus is mourning for Jerusalem because they missed it. They missed the message. They didn't recognize God's coming. And there is a clear principle here in this text that if we don't recognize Christ when he comes, we will be exposed to judgment in this world and the next. they missed it. And Jesus was crying over them. There is a beautiful painting by Rembrandt of Jesus, a bust of him. And it says that if you cover one eye and you look at him, he has a sparkle in his eye and he looks joyful. And then if you cover the other eye, he looks like he's about to cry. And I think that's what Palm Sunday is. In the heart of Christ, there's a joyfulness because he is going to complete the mission. He is going to be that sacrificial lamb once and for all. And he was eager to do it. He was ready to do it. He was walking ahead to do it. And then there's the tears because so many people have missed out. Lisa, if you'd like to come. You know, Palm Sunday, I can't think of a better time that if you're away from God and you've missed it, you've missed the message. And he's looking over your life like he did Jerusalem. This would be a great time to come to him. If you'd please bow your heads with me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've come here today and you need Christ, I will not embarrass you. I will not call you out. But between you and God, you have missed the message. And he looks over and he's crying. He's wanting you to come. He's wanting you to understand so that you can welcome him this Easter. If that's you, just raise your hand for just a moment. If you need Jesus today, you've never committed to him. And then maybe you're just like me. Maybe you are caught up in some of the busyness and you're not quite ready for Easter to come. It's time to say, I want to welcome Jesus this year in a special way. I want to welcome him with my obedience. I want to welcome him with gifts, maybe gifts of myself, gifts of joy even, to stand out from the world and say, yes, I am a Christian, and he saved me. And we want to welcome him with praise this week. We're going to make a special effort, I pray. I know I'm going to be conscious of his presence all day, all week. We're just going to live in the presence of God. And then we're going to be faithful. We're going to offer him faith also that we understand who he is.